to turn this morning to Book of Genesis, chapter 22. Book of Genesis, chapter 22. I'd like to read the first 19 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him, that is Moriah. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I believe the particular mountain God told him of at this time. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, the particular mountain. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiply, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nation of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. What we have just read is very familiar to most of us. It is one of the most perplexing and puzzling biblical accounts for God to command a parent to sacrifice his son on an altar. Sounds contrary to the very character of God. And what we read here is without precedent. It has no parallel in the Old Testament. It all seems, just to the casual reader, improbable, unnecessary. Yet it is one of the most profound of all biblical accounts. Of course, it is a beautiful type of God offering up his son. The gospel can certainly be preached from Genesis chapter 22. But it is also filled with that which is very relevant in our lives today. And that which should challenge our lives today. What we read here is an event in the life of Abraham, and really what we read here is the climax of what began back in Genesis chapter 12. Back in Genesis chapter 12, we have Abraham at the age of 75 being called of God to leave his homeland and to go into a land that he knew not of. We read there in Genesis 12 in verse 1, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." It was a call of separation. A call of separation from the natural, from the ties of natural man. And before you and I will seriously serve God, we too will receive a call that separates us from the ties of natural man. Most people never get beyond that and therefore do not serve God. Connected with this call was a promise concerning something that God would do. We see that in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. God would bless Abraham. We see the response of Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 4, "And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him." In the promise, God promised Abraham three things. He promised him family, he promised him land, and he promised him the presence of God. And Abraham left his homeland based upon the word and the promise of God. The faith of Abraham concerning this is referred to in Hebrews 11, verse 8, leaving his country. In Genesis 15 and verse 1, God again appeared to Abraham, revealing to Abraham, "Abraham, I am everything that you need. I am everything that you need." Reading on in chapter 15, you see that God again promised Abraham a seed, a son. The years passed, and Abraham and Sarah still have no children. And in Genesis 17, God promised Abraham when he was 99 years old, so 24 years have passed since Genesis chapter 12, that the next year, Sarah would have a son, and he was to be named Isaac. In Genesis 21, verses 2 and 3, we read of the birth of Isaac and all the joy that filled the hearts of Abraham and Sarah when Isaac was born. And oh, how they loved Isaac. Coming to our text, we read it came to pass after these things. What is the after these things? Well, after 25 years of waiting for the promise of a son, after the joy of his birth, after the joy of child rearing, after these things, there came a test. God did tempt Abraham. It would be a test of his love to God. It would be a test of his faith in God. At this time, God told Abraham to take his son and reminded Abraham that it was his only son, that, and it was the son that he loved. And he was to take him and offer him for a burnt offering. Coming to the end of our text, we see that Abraham and Isaac, that Abraham went as far as to lay Isaac down as a sacrifice. This also is referred to as a great act of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 17. In Abraham, we have the life of faith. We have the walk of faith. We have an adventure in faith. And our lives as children of God ought to be just that. Adventures in faith. We want to speak this morning. We're not going to view this passage as a type of God offering His Son, but we want to apply it to ourselves, we that are saved. We want to speak on the subject of faith enough to lay Isaac down. Faith enough to lay Isaac down. First thing we'll do is look at the person and the act of Abraham, and then we'll make application to ourselves. But first of all, Abraham was a man who knew God. He was a man who had communed with God. In verse 1, we see that God called Abraham by name, said unto him, Abraham. That is, God talked to Abraham. This wasn't the first time. Abraham was very accustomed to the voice of God. Notice in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram. Notice verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. In chapter 17 and verse 1, we see the Lord appeared to Abram. In verse 3, and God talked with him. And in Genesis 18 and verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him. And in verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham. And in Genesis 21 and verse 12, we see, and God said unto Abraham. Abraham was a man who communed with God. He knew the voice of God. Notice Genesis 21 and verse 33. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. So here is a man leading up to our text who has communed with God. He is a man who has come to learn that God is not just a God. He is not just the God. He is not the God of somebody else. But Abraham had been brought to the place of the blessed assurance, He is my God. And Abraham knew that when we get to Genesis 22. And God said, Abraham, here is a man who knew God. Here is a man who had personally experienced God in his daily life. He had come to the personal realization that he belongs to God, that God loves him, that God always has done what's best for him, and that God has been faithful to him, and that God has proven himself able throughout his life. Abraham knew that God had a plan for his life, and Abraham embraced that plan. All that is true, coming to Genesis 22. Abraham had the blessed assurance that God was in absolute control of all things. God was relevant. God was a reality in the life of Abraham. So here is a man who communed with God. He's also a man who was sensitive and available to God. God said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Abraham knew that voice. All he had to say was Abraham, and Abraham knew that voice. And God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham heard him very clearly and distinctly. Call him by name. And there was an immediate response of availability. Here am I. There was an immediate response of submission on Abraham's part. So coming to Genesis 22, we see here in verse 1 that God has Abraham's attention. Which raises the question, does God have our attention? Does God have our attention? Thirdly, we see that he was submissive and obedient to God's will. In verse 2, we read of God's command to Abraham, take now, thine only son. And notice the emphasis, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Abraham, I know you love him. Take him whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him, thine son, the son that you love, offer him there for a burnt offering, that is in Moriah, upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. He didn't tell him which mountain that night, he would tell him later. This was a staggering and startling and absolutely flabbergasting demand from God. Take Isaac and offer him a burnt offering. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Abraham would have never expected such a demand from God. You'll never convince me that Abraham thought, you know, one day God's going to tell me to offer Isaac for a burnt offering. Never crossed his mind. This is something entirely unexpected. Abraham knew that it was God. When all hope was gone, who miraculously and graciously and lovingly gave him Isaac. And he knew that Isaac was God's promise for his future. And that all the promises of God to Abraham are linked to Isaac. And now, that same God is commanding Abraham to slay Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice to the Lord. This is something that would go against all the natural affections of Abraham. It would go against all the inclinations of Abraham. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him a burnt offering. This goes against every fiber of Abraham's being. Abraham, again, would have never imagined being faced with such a circumstance. But in one evening, in one moment, there was an inconceivable, unspeakable, and absolutely shocking turn of events and circumstances in the life of Abraham. Take now thy son and offer him a burnt offering. Abraham is now faced with something that makes absolutely no sense to the human mind. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him a burnt offering. This is not something that Abraham could have ever expected. This is not something that Abraham could have ever planned for. Then we read in verse 3 of Abraham's response to this unexpected turn of events, to this incomprehensible demand that was upon him. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. And then we are told what he did that morning. He prepared his mule for the journey. He cut the wood. He went out and he split the wood that was necessary for this burnt offering. It says he clave the wood for the burnt offering. He gathered two of his servants. And he gathered Isaac. Why? Why did he do all of this? Simply because God said so. As you read the account, there is no record of hesitation. There is no record of Abraham arguing with God. There is no record of Abraham questioning God. There is no record of any murmuring on the part of Abraham. There is no record that Abraham in any way tried to avoid or escape from what God was telling him. Abraham did not know why God would demand such a thing. He knew that he was to go to Moriah. He did not know exactly where in Moriah that he was to offer this sacrifice. So he didn't know why. He didn't know where God was taking him. And he certainly did not know what God was doing. He had no idea. But he knew. And he personally experienced where the instruction came from. He knew the God who gave the instruction. And he knew that this God makes no mistakes. And he knew the promises of God. And he knew that there was no circumstance where God would ever break his promise, though all of his future is tied up in Isaac. And he knew that God was able. And he knew without any doubt that God loved him and that God had his best interest in mind. So Abraham got up that morning and he stepped out with God. Notice it says, and went unto the place of which God told him. He begins to head the 50 or 60 miles to Moriah. He's headed in the direction of Moriah. He not only knew that God had a plan for his life, he embraced that plan, whatever it was, And he trusted God with that plan. From verse 4, we learn that it took 3 days for Abraham to arrive at the place that God showed him. That is, they come to Moriah, and it was as if God said, Abraham, that mountain right over there, that's the place. Abraham, 3 days, he journeyed. He began and he continued his journey knowing that the purpose of the trip is to offer his son a burnt offering. He knew that when he got up that morning. He knew that when he prepared his mule. He knew that when he cut the wood. He knew that when he gathered his knife. He knew that when he gathered the means to start the fire. He knew the purpose of the trip was to offer his son, Isaac. And for 3 days, he knows the purpose of the trip. And we can be pretty sure of this, that it was not an easy 3 days. But Abraham made that unexpected journey. Abraham made that incomprehensible journey. And he made it with God. For 3 days. It's not just that Abraham's traveling with his servants and Isaac. For 3 days, Abraham is traveling with God. And I don't believe that there was probably a whole lot of conversation going on between Abraham and his two young men, and Abraham and Isaac. But I believe that Abraham was in communion with God for those 3 days. You say, what do you base that on? Because I don't believe you would have made the trip had he not been in communion with the Lord. Abraham did not question the instruction he had been given of God. He listened. He responded. And he kept on listening. And he kept on listening for 3 days. And then finally God said, Abraham, this is the place. And upon arriving at the place, in verse 4, Abraham said to his two servants in verse 5, you watch the mule, and I, while Isaac and I, go and worship. Abraham had worship on his mind. And then notice what he said, and come again to you. From Hebrews 11 and verse 19, we see that Abraham fully expected to offer Isaac a burnt offering, but he believed that God would resurrect Isaac. We see that in Hebrews 11, verse 19. Now think about that. Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Up to this point in the book of Genesis, there is absolutely no record of God raising the dead to life. But Abraham believed that God would do that which was absolutely unheard of. He believed. Notice verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand, the means of starting the fire, and a knife. And they went, both of them, together. There they are. They're heading up that mountain. In verse 7, Isaac asks his father a question. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? That's almost a heart-stopping question, if you think about it. Dad, where's the lamb? We've got everything else. Where's the lamb? And Abraham offered an immediate, a very clear, and a very confident response to Isaac's question. Verse 8, God will. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. All the faith, the assurance, the conviction of those words. God will. And then we read for the second time, so they went, both of them, together. They continued on. making this unexpected, incomprehensible journey. Abraham is fully embracing the faithfulness, the ability, and the love of God. We read in verse 9, "And they," Abraham and Isaac, "came to the place when God, which God had told him of." And then we read, "And Abraham built an altar there." And may I say, as Abraham is building that altar, was he not fully embracing the faithfulness, the ability, and the love of God? That's the only way he could have built that altar. Then we see, and they laid the wood in order. Put the wood in order. Again, Abraham fully embracing the faithfulness, the ability, and the love of God. And then we read, he bound his son Isaac. Again, fully embracing the faithfulness, the ability, and the love of God. And then it says, and laid him, Isaac, on the altar upon the wood. Still embracing, still holding unto. God is faithful. Still holding on to the ability of God. God can raise my son. And still holding on to, I know that God loves me. And he lays Isaac down. Then verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay him. Oh, what faith. What confidence in God. In verse 11, there came a voice from heaven. And because Abraham was so determined to carry out God's instruction, Abraham was called by name twice. In verse 1, it was just Abraham. Here's Abraham with the knife. He's about to plunge the knife, and now it is Abraham, Abraham! Because Abraham was determined to obey the Lord. God, Abraham responded, "Here am I. Here am I." Throughout this unexpected journey, Abraham remained sensitive to God's voice. Best way to get through any journey is to remain in touch with the voice of God. And he remained available. And he remained submissive to God. God commended Abraham in verse 12, "Thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And he commended him again in verse 16. And the fact that Abraham did not withhold his son, again, is a result of explicit trust in God. The result of explicit love to God and the realization that God is worthy of all. And the end result of Abraham stepping out with God in verse 1, 3 days ago, was that he personally experienced the miraculous and the blessing of God. Verse 13 and 14, Abraham looks up and there's a ram caught in the thickets. And can you imagine the joy that overflowed his heart? God has provided. And then as he went over and he untangled that ram, oh, the joy! And he named the place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Experience the blessing of God. So we have the person and the act of Abraham. How does it all apply to ourselves? Well, this was an unexpected event in the life of Abraham. And unexpected events and circumstances, things that you did not plan for, things that you never even expected, things that you couldn't have even imagined can come into our lives at any time. At any time there can be unexpected, inconceivable, an incomprehensible turn of events in our lives. Here it was in the moment of an evening, Abraham is faced with something that he would have never expected. At any time, at any place, that which is beyond human reason can come into our lives. I mean, it does not make sense. God, Abraham, offer up Isaac. It doesn't make sense. What came into Abraham's life, many would label an impossible situation. It was a difficult, it was a very trying situation that had come into the life of Abraham. And we must realize that none of us are above any of these things. But we learn much from Abraham. The best way to be prepared for the unexpected, the inconceivable, the incomprehensible, and the impossible is to have a trust-filled relationship with God. We see Abraham had that leading up to Genesis 21. To be in tune with the voice of God and to be available to God. And when these difficult and trying and maybe even unexpected and inconceivable and incomprehensible times come into our lives, oh, how we need the resolute assurance that God is who He says He is. Abraham had that night. Embrace the faithfulness of God. Abraham embraced. Abraham laid hold that night of the faithfulness of God. He laid hold that night of the power of God and the love of God to him. So with this difficult, trying, heart-rending, unexpected, inconceivable, incomprehensible experience, circumstance before him, Abraham was not paralyzed with fear that night, but was energized by faith in God. And that is the result of the relationship that he had with the Lord. Abraham arose and he obeyed God. There's a lesson there for you and I. Rise and obey God when it doesn't make sense. When it makes absolutely no sense at all. Get up and obey God. I'm just going to stay in bed all day and turn off the lights, shut the door, shut the blinds, and this is where I'm going to stay all my life. Get up and obey God when it doesn't make sense. Rise up and obey God when it goes against every fiber of your being, when it goes against all your natural affections. Rise up and obey God. When it's confusing, and this is confusing. Abraham, all your future is tied up in Isaac. Everything I've promised you is in Isaac. Now, Abraham, I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. That's pretty confusing. That doesn't make sense. But when it's confusing, when nothing adds up, rise up and obey God. That's what Abraham did. Had Abraham gone out and discussed his circumstances with everyone he knew, there would not be one single person who could say, Abraham, I know what you're going through. I had a similar experience. No one else had this experience. No one would understand this circumstance. And when no one else understands, rise up and obey God. Know and realize that God has an all-wise plan, and accept and surrender to that plan. So when Abraham got up that morning, here's this difficult and trying and heartrending and unexpected and inconceivable and incomprehensible circumstance before him. And what did Abraham do that morning? He gave God first place by obeying God. And when these events come into our lives, give God first place. That's the only way to make this journey. That's the only way to make the unexpected journeys of life. He arose that morning with this life-altering change of events before him. And he didn't get up by himself that morning, and he didn't step out of his door that morning by himself. He stepped out with God. And oh, that we would not be afraid. Whatever the circumstance, step out with God. Go on the journey with God. None of us know what our next journey might be. None of us know the journey that God may command us to take. But whatever it is, we're to take it with Him. And we're to step out with Him. Moving in the direction of God. Abraham, go to Moriah. So Abraham heads to Moriah. And as he's headed to Moriah for 3 days, he's following the leading of God. Don't be afraid to move in the direction of God. Be afraid to move in the opposite direction of God. Verse 3, he rose up and went to the place which God had told him. So there's Abraham. He's on this unexpected journey. But he's on it with God. And for 3 days, again, no doubt difficult and trying days. Can you imagine the intense spiritual warfare that was going on at that time? You'll never convince me that Satan left Abraham alone for those 3 days. Satan was right there. And there was an intense spiritual warfare. But Abraham just kept following God. Just kept following the instruction of God. Just kept moving in the direction of God. Just kept moving in the following the leading of God. Just kept on realizing God's power, His faithfulness and love in His circumstance. And Abraham, for 3 days, just moved along with God. And no matter what journey we may have to go on, no matter what turn of events may come into our lives, step out with God and keep going. Following His direction. After 3 days, they arrive at the particular mountain. And God says, Abraham, see that mountain over there? That's the place. That's the place. And Abraham, still embracing the faithfulness and the ability and the love of God, continues to move in the direction of God. And he and Isaac make their way to that mountain. And Abraham builds an altar. And Abraham binds Isaac to the altar, all the while holding unto the faithfulness and the power and the love of God. And Abraham raises his knife to slay Isaac. And perhaps no one understands the concept of offering it all to God better than Abraham. And when he rose that, when he raised that knife, raised his arm, he was willing to let go of Isaac. He was willing to relinquish Isaac. He was willing to surrender Isaac to God. And we need to so embrace the faithfulness and the power and the love of God. So believe and trust that we are able to lay Isaac down. Faith enough to lay Isaac down. To so realize the power, God's power in our circumstances, whatever they might be, that we're willing to let go. That is one of the hardest lessons for human beings to learn. Let go. Let go. You realize how much difficulty we bring into our lives because we just won't let go. Abraham so realized the faithfulness and the ability and the love of God for him that he was willing, he was ready to relinquish his dreams. His dreams are tied up in Isaac. His plans and his hopes. Oh, for the faith to lay Isaac down. We all have Isaacs. That's not a bad thing. We all have Isaacs. And we need the faith to lay Isaac down. Notice that there is power and a wonderful further experience of God when you're willing to let go. Abraham was willing to lay Isaac down, willing to let Isaac go. And oh, the joy that overflowed his soul when he saw a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And then we read that Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. All the praise, all the thanksgiving that filled his heart at that moment. All started 3 days ago. With an unexpected turn of events. With an unexplainable turn of events. Incomprehensible. And Abraham continued for 3 days with God. The journey God takes us on may be a lot longer than 3 days. God may take us on a journey beginning today that will last us the rest of our lives. We don't know. That will greatly affect our lives. But oh, that we would trust God enough to step out with Him and to go every step of the way with Him. There is power. There is power in a faith that makes us willing and enables us to let go. And can you imagine after Isaac, or after Abraham offered this ram as a burnt offering, and as Abraham and Isaac returned back to the two young men, all the zeal, the determination that Abraham had for God. And as they made their way back 3 days back to Beersheba, it was a different trip. All the joy. All the joy that filled his heart. And I want to say today that there is joy to be found in taking your journey with God. whatever that journey is. And our journey can change at any time. The path that God takes us down can change in a moment. But oh, that we would trust God enough to go with Him. That we would trust God enough to lay down whatever it is God tells us to lay down. Now imagine if Abraham would have got up that morning and went in the opposite direction of Moriah. He would have brought great distress to his life in doing that. And I believe eventually God still would have brought him to Moriah. God's going to carry out his plan. Jonah is a perfect example. Whatever journey God's going to take us down, you can try all you want to. I don't want to take this journey. I'm not going to take this journey. I got news for you. You are. And you're going to either take it with God or without Him. But if you take it with Him, there's blessing. There's a blessing. There's a further experience. There's a further experience of God when you take your journey with Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Thank you.